Speaking of a pardon moment, I had one earlier this morning. I was reading on Twitter, John Lott from your boy from The Athletic.
Yeah, thanks.
He's down there in Dunedin. You guys have quite the budget to be sending people down there.
Yeah.
And I guess he was talking to Josh Donaldson, and Donaldson is calling fake news on Gibbons. Donaldson said that Gibbons was wrong, that his calf is fine. He had a cramp from dehydration last Saturday. He got acupuncture the next day. He's good to go, and he plans on playing tomorrow. Not guaranteed, but he plans on playing it. John Gibbons was telling the media that, yeah, he had a calf issue. He never specifically said the details behind it and how serious it was, but Gibbons said this is what's going on. And now Donaldson is calling fake news. And to chat about it, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, we're joined now by Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star. Who do you think's telling the truth here in retrospect? Is it Donaldson or Gibbons?
Hey, guys. I think, thank God, that the Blue Jays medical people are much more transparent than the Leafs. You know, I mean, if you went by what John Gibbons said every day of his managerial career in terms of injuries, you would be 50% wrong, because he'll tell you that, John Gibbons will tell you that all he cares about is the 25 guys that are in the clubhouse that are healthy, or the players that are healthy. He doesn't care about people in the minor leagues. He can't give you a report. He doesn't care about people on the disabled list. He can't give you a report. So, like, for any media people, and as you pointed out, there's not a lot down there right now, for any media people who quote John Gibbons as the be-all and end-all of Blue Jays medical reports, that's 100% wrong. You have to go to someone else and make sure, even the player, and make sure that that's right. And Josh Donaldson is right. It's not as serious as he thought. You know, Josh Donaldson had a serious calf injury last year, so as soon as he feels something in his calf this year, whether it's dehydration or whatever, he backs away. He knows when the season starts, and I think it's just a learning process for him, and for him to hear what John Gibbons is saying about his calf injury. That's not a wedge in the relationship between the two men, but you can't go with what John Gibbons says.
Well, if that's the case, why wouldn't the team then go to Gibbons the day after he started leaking this information and say, hey, like, figure it out. Go back out there and correct yourself. Why do we have to wait 4 or 5 days later for Donaldson to say it?
Because you have an inexperienced GM and a crappy PR department.
Okay, that would explain it, because that seems like something that would be pretty obvious to protect the player, as opposed to for him, you know, for him to have to come out and explain it himself. Go to Gibbons and be like, "Hey, get it right."
And you know, I heard you guys last week talking about how can you go to spring training and not be healthy, and you had a calf injury, like in the case of Josh Donaldson, come to spring training and not be ready to go. And like we were talking about just a minute ago, like, if you feel something, if you feel the same symptoms as you felt a year ago and it became serious, you're going to back away, but you don't expect the organization to not back you up or to exaggerate or to allow exaggerations of your injury to take hold. And I believe that's what happened with Donaldson.
Well, let's be honest, there's another component to all of this, and that's his pending free agency. And that's where the skeptic in me would suggest that this is Donaldson not only sending a message that he hopes to permeate his own media and fan base here in Toronto, but also get it out there to the other GMs throughout the league. Hey, I don't have a chronic issue here. Like, don't, because yeah, he's got to fight against that, right, Griff? He's over 30. He's got to make sure the rest of the league believes he can be durable.
Yeah, and I think that that's one reason why whatever the Blue Jays put on the table, and I know they made a significant offer for Josh Donaldson going forward as in a multi-year free agent deal, but he played 4 years in a row of 156-plus games out of 162, and then last year was a down year because of the calf. So you're right. He's got to make sure that other clubs don't believe that he's injury prone, but the thing is that he's got 6 months to do that, to prove that. So this is like a blip on everyone's radar if he's ready for opening day, and I honestly believe that he can play 150 plus games in 2018, and I honestly believe that the best thing for the Blue Jays and Donaldson right now, and that they've agreed upon, is to let it slide until after the season. And I honestly believe that they won't make the same mistake as they made with Edwin Encarnacion, where they pulled the deal off the table as soon as he refused it. I think that Donaldson and the Jays both know that this deal is there. This is the bar that has been set. And so, like, the fact that he's got a phony calf injury, I don't think makes any difference at all.
So, Richard, do you feel like this isn't going to be a thing that we're going to talk about the contract throughout the year? Like, they have this plan in place that, okay, we're not going to talk about it, you're not going to talk about it, and we'll just kind of, like, do you think that actually will work?
I think that Josh Donaldson needs to find out whether there's any team that will pay him, because the Jays are offering him this year plus four, so that's a five-year deal. He needs to find out at the end of the season if there's any teams out there that will offer him a six-year deal after this. That's what he's looking for. That would take him to age 39. And the Blue Jays are counting on this year's report, this year's free agent market, repeating itself next year, where nobody is going to offer more than age 37, which is what they're offering to Donaldson. And I think that they're counting on that, and Donaldson needs to see it for himself before they make a deal.
With Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star, one of the big stories down in Dunedin is what's going on with Teoscar Hernandez, and that was maybe the biggest story of September. He came up and he lit the league on fire, and he looked great in replacement of Bautista, and the plan was, or potential plan was, that maybe if he has a good spring, he could be a part of this team. But then they go out there and they sign Curtis Granderson. They trade for Grichuk from St. Louis. They've got Pilar there. They've got Steve Pierce, who's always injured, but he's still a part of the program. And if he's healthy, he's going to be a part of this team. And there's no guarantees that Hernandez is going to start the year with the big club, which I could understand if he was 18 or 19, this idea that he's got to get hacks in AAA. I believe he's 25. Like, why can't he start even if he's on the bench? Like, why would Hernandez not be a part of this program?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who believe that the Houston Astros, after winning the World Series last year, are a genius organization in terms of evaluating players, in terms of moving players up, in terms of determining who is going to be a significant major leaguer. And the fact that they traded Teoscar Hernandez in a deal for Francisco Liriano, either they had a mental blip on that day, or Teoscar Hernandez is not as good as his September showed. And September and spring training are probably the two worst times to evaluate whether a player is a significant major league player. And I think that if you believe that the Astros are not idiots, that there's something to be said for making Teoscar Hernandez prove it at AAA. And it's going to be a great outfield with Anthony Alford, Dalton Pompey, and they have a couple more guys, young guys down there. But there's no downside in letting Steve Pierce start as a platoon left fielder and then trying to trade him as quickly as possible, because his money is guaranteed, and you got to clear the deck before you bring Teoscar up. And I think that just believing that the Astros know what they're doing is enough to say that they're doing the right thing.
Richard, what about Aaron Sanchez? Is it kind of a wait and see with the blisters? Like, is it just, you know, hope they don't come back?
I think that he has done some things, and I asked him earlier in the spring about whether he had changed grip on the baseball, and he denied it. He said no, but I believe he had to have made some adjustments. And from what we've seen so far, it's a different situation. He hasn't, significantly, he doesn't look at his hand while he's pitching, but I think that's on purpose. I remember David Palmer with the Montreal Expos when I was there. He was a kid, pitcher of late-round draft choice, and he was playing pinball in Lethbridge, Alberta. Caught his finger in the machine, broke his finger, and it's never healed properly, but it gave his fastball more movement, and he became a significant major league pitcher after that. And I think it's just, if Sanchez is going to stay healthy, it may be in part because he was able to make an adjustment on his grip, and so far so good with him.
Thank you, Richard. We'll do it again soon.
Great. Look forward to it.
There's Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca.